And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score meets 2-10. Dublin, 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and meet the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Me podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan here with you as always. Davey, a lot of Leinster action this weekend. We had the regional championship during the week. We have, you know, the Leinster club hurling as well coming up next weekend. Kildock, you're out. So plenty to be at the moment. Plenty of GAA to keep us busy.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. We kind of thought we'd be winding down a bit, but I think that's probably our busiest weekend now gone, unfortunately, because I think we lost a couple. It was a decent weekend for Meath clubs all around, Mickey, and Leinster action, but unfortunately we did lose a couple as well. So we could look forward to obviously the culmination of the regional championship and a few more teams who are soldiering on for the next few weeks. But it was a mixed bag, I suppose, during the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And of course, in a couple of weeks' time, we have the Keegan Sports We Are Meath All-Stars event to look forward to as well, Davey, when we'll announce the team of the year for 2023, the Meath Club Championship team of the year for 2023 on Saturday, the 25th of November.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. And obviously, the momentum is building around it as well. So we've got our Eventbrite Live. We must actually do a refresh on our social media so that people can see it. But essentially, if you go onto Google and just search Eventbrite We Are Meath, you'll find the link to register your place at the event. Completely free event. We've got a charity partner, Dad Cycle in Kells, on board as well. So any proceeds on the night, or all proceeds on the night, are going to that fantastic charity in Kells. We obviously have our nominees picked out. They've been circulated to all the clubs and the nominees themselves. We look forward to having them on board on the night, potentially having Colm O'Rourke there as well as John Cavan and Kieran Flynn from the Meath County Board. So it'll be a really, really great night, and we're really looking forward to it, hoping to see as many people as we possibly can from the podcast. And it was a superb night last year, and let's hope it'll be even better this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Building it year on year for sure. Davey, I suppose we get stuck into it. As we said, a lot of Leinster action. We're going to start with the ladies, and we had two teams out in action, Nafina and Waterstown. You go to the Nafina match for us, if you can.
So yeah, Mickey, Nafina were playing Suncroft from Kildare, and they powered their way past Suncroft in a rain-soaked pitch in Bacontown on a scoreline to 2-11 to 8 points to feature in the Leinster LGFA Intermediate Final next weekend against Shellamere's of Wexford. Both our footballers and Camogie teams are in Leinster finals, which is an absolutely magnificent achievement for Nafina. Nafina had far too much for Suncroft, who, despite having a purple patch in the first half, couldn't break down the tenacious Nafina defence. Nafina were quickest out of the blocks with 2 points from Kerry Cole and Deirdre Flynn, the veteran, before Suncroft registered a point from play by Root Daly after 9 minutes. Two more points from play from Cole and Flynn before Alara Prendergast free, and another from Dylan kept Suncroft in touch after 18 minutes. Nafina replied to Suncroft's surge and hit back with a free of their own through Leah Devine, and 4 points from play from Moira Kirby, Sean Ennis, Cole and Flynn. With time almost up in the first half, Sean Ennis, the Meath senior captain, of course, popped in with another goal to add to her collection. She's been in great goal scoring form as of late. And at halftime, that made it Nafina 1-9 to Suncroft's 3 points. The second half opened up with a point from Suncroft's Megan Troy and a free from the boot of Ellen Dowling before Kirby again pointed from play on the 37th minute. Dowling and Ennis traded points midway through, before Sophia Payne drifted into the perfect position to collect a pass and hit to the back of the net on 55 minutes, 5 minutes from time. This effectively sealed Suncroft's fate as Nafina rolled in subs before Troy and Dowling pointed for Suncroft again in the last 3 minutes of the game. They battled hard, but Nafina were far the more comfortable and earned their place in the final on a filing scoreline of Nafina 2-11, Suncroft 8 points.
Yeah, brilliant performance from Nafina. And as we said, they will march on to the Leinster Intermediate Final next weekend to face off against Shelmaleer of Wexford, as Davey said. Also in action on the weekend was, of course, Waterstown. And they beat Skull O'Connell 3 goals and 12 to a goal and 5 at TU Blanterstown on Saturday to book their place in the Leinster Junior Final against Gusaran of Wexford next weekend also. So brilliant to see both of the Mead teams, the junior and the intermediate, going on to the final. But they could make this a double header because the fact that it's Wexford opposition in both games against Mead.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it, Vicky? And I'm sure it's a brilliant achievement down there in Wexford as well for what they're doing. In fairness to Nafina and Waterstown, the way they've done it up to now is something that you don't see too often in Leinster. They've blown away the teams they've played. It's been really, really impressive. And look, that could be a good thing or a bad thing going into a final. We hope that that sort of form line will be conducive to them going on to win the respective finals. But sometimes the lack of a test, we do see it from time to time, can be to their detriment as well. But there's so much class and quality in both clubs at the moment, and you'd be very confident that they can hopefully go on and win both Leinster titles.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic for Mead football. Mead ladies football being on such a high for the last number of years. If some of the clubs could go on and do what the ladies have done at senior level and whatever, it'd be absolutely brilliant. So best of luck to both Nafina and to Waterstown next weekend in their Leinster finals. Also in action this weekend, Davey, we had the Camogues. Before we get to the footballers, the Nafina were taking on Moishall from Carlo, and they won out on a scoreline of 11 points to 8 in a very, very nervy encounter between two good sides. And they booked their place in the final with that victory in the Leinster Intermediate Final. And they're going to be playing on Moors of Leash. And that game is going to be played in 2 weeks' time. We don't know the day or the time or anything yet. And it's going to be in Dr. Cullen Park in Carlo. So Nafina on just an unbelievable journey at the moment, Davey.
Cloud nine, just incredible. Their exploits really is, and you love to see it. You really, really do. I mean, to do a double in your county is some feat, but to go on and take your position in two Leinster finals and hopefully bag another two trophies will be just magnificent. All on the one weekend as well. It's astonishing goings on. And all the best to them, you know, for the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be a very special time. And I'd imagine the build up in and around Nafina, Bakenstown and Enfield, it'll be fever pitch.
Can't imagine how difficult it must be as well to play your Leinster semi-final on the Saturday and with the ladies, and then with the Camogues again on the Sunday. There must be a big crossover of players between the two teams, or is there, Davey?
I know, I think there is. It's not something that me and you will ever, unfortunately, get to experience, Mickey. I think we could say that now for sure. But listen, they're riding on the crest of a wave. There is that momentum factor as well. And
yeah,
the only thing about it is, certainly in the football in terms, I suppose they haven't been overexerted. Do you know what I mean? And maybe that's a blessing in disguise as well, because otherwise, if they came through two really tough and grueling games, it might have caught up with them. But at the moment, I suppose it's a big tip of the cap to their fitness levels and their strength and depth in general, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations to them. The club really is flying at the moment. But on the other end of things, in the Leinster Junior A semi-final, it was Trim taking on Knockanana from Wicklow. And Knockanana of Wicklow won on the scoreline of 3-22 to Trim's 3 points. A big, big victory there for the Wicklow champions, and Trim making their way home from Wicklow after that game. Wouldn't have been an easy drive home, maybe.
I know. Look, it's obviously a massive step up when you go into provincials, and it's I think it's a first for them and that. And yeah, look, at a tough out, no doubt. But their main objective was win the championship, and I suppose they've done that. Yeah, they'll be a little bit sour after that sort of a beating, but I think, listen, when the dust settles and they take stock, they'll be delighted with what they've achieved this year, and I don't think the Leinster game will live long in the memory for them, and they'll be trying to, you know, forget about it pretty quickly and look forward to next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
That is the Leinster Camogie and Leinster LGFA looked at club-wise. We're going to move on now to the Leinster Club football action. And again, we had three teams out from Meath. We had three. We're down to one now after the weekend's events, because on Saturday, Kilbride lost out to Milltown. That game played in Ashburn Davy, 1-7 to 1-11. Draw at half-time, but Milltown just had a little bit more in that second half.
Yeah, the game ebbed and flowed, Mickey. Look, Kilbride had the breeze in the first half, probably didn't make as much use of it as they could have. They had a number of goal opportunities, didn't take them. Eventually, they got their goal early in the second half, put themselves a point up, and that's when the game management should have kicked in. And they're so young and maybe inexperienced that it didn't. They let their opponents back in, and they equalised, and unfortunately for Craig Manning, like, he's a brilliant guy and he had a fantastic game. He made three unbelievable saves before that. His short kick out was intercepted, and Milltown got a goal from a chipped effort over him. And that was 10 minutes from time. That really was a defining score. And to be fair, Milltown would be a bit more experienced. They played the trade in intermediate for a number of years. They've seen the game out really effectively. 4 points is harsh in Kilbride, because I genuinely think that game could have went either way. But unfortunately, maybe just experience or lack of one out on the day.
Yeah, and look, another club that can be proud of their efforts this year. And, you know, they have that Junior A Championship. They will be going up into Intermediate. They would have liked to go another step in Leinster, I'm sure. But as you said, you know, that experience will stand to them. And that experience the lack of experience was probably the difference between the teams and the day Milltown being able to see out that game. On a positive note, Rick Kenny travelled down to Glennon Brothers Pierce Park to take on the Longford champions in Keena. And Davy, they came home with the victory, let's just say. And 3-11 to 1-10, 20 points to 13, but a much more comfortable victory than the scoreline maybe suggests of 7 points.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, Mickey. They laboured for long periods of the first half, Rakeni. They trailed by 4 points at one stage in the first half, went in a point down at halftime, I think. And I'd say they were mad to get out of the dressing room, I'd say, after halftime, because I'd say they still had Donald Curtis ringing in their ears. Because it was a subpar first half performance, a little bit like it was last week against the Wexford team, in truth. But they turned in a much improved second half performance that really, I suppose, blew away their opponents. They had greater strength and depth, greater quality. Keith Curtis was outstanding as always, and they got goals from Oisin Cumlins Fuller and Owen Heavey. the only disappointment, I suppose, or blow to come out of it was a serious looking injury sustained to Niall Branigan, one of their veteran campaigners, which we wish him well and hope that that's not too bad. But otherwise, I think a very satisfactory afternoon's worth against a very tricky side in Keane and a potential banana skin, as we always know that Longford can be for Meath team. So mission accomplished, test passed, and on to the next one for Rakeni.
Yeah, on to the semi-final where they'll face off against Skull Econol from Dublin. If I'm not mistaken, that's the same team that was Waterstown was playing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, that'll be a bigger test, obviously, coming up against the Dublin champions and whatever. But, you know, they are our last hope in Leinster men's competition this year, Leinster club men's, because on Sunday, Summerhill, we're taking on Nace in Hawkfield Centre of Excellence in Kildare. And it was the Kildare champions, Nace, who got the better of Summerhill. 212 to 8 points. Now, of all the scorelines of the weekend, that has to be the harshest scoreline for any of our teams.
Yeah, because if you took one glance at the scoreline, you think, this was a predictable enough game. Nace, far too good, one out handy. Summerhill never raised the gallop. That's not really the truth of it, Mickey, because despite the fact Summerhill were well below par and second best on the day, I don't think anybody could dispute that. They fought bravely and gamely in the third quarter and got themselves back within two, thanks to a point from Owen Frayne and Barry Dardis who put just two between the sides. But when Summerhill pushed on, unfortunately, that was as good as it got really for them, because after Kerwin put three between the sides, Prizeman, the wing back, got the second goal for Nace, and that put 6 points between the sides, daylight between them, and Summerhill never really recovered in that fourth quarter. They knew they were beaten after that second goal and couldn't really rally. The win and losing of it, essentially, Mickey, was the first half. Summerhill had the breeze. They hit 9 first half wides, only hit 3 points with the breeze at their backs, and were well off colour. And they also were missing Ronan Ryan, their resident and their star fullback, to injury from the start. And that was a huge blow. And like Darragh Kerwin, they just didn't have anybody to pick up him. I think Ronan Ryan would have done that, you know. And they put up a decent account of themselves, but Nace are a very slick side, and they've won 3 in a row in Kildare for a reason. And you'd imagine they'll probably put it up to Kilmacud if they can get by the Lomans the next day. So no complaints from a Summerhill standpoint, but that scoreline is harsh for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be doing full reviews of the Leinster Club Championship from the weekend over in our Loyal Royals podcast. We do have interviews from Conor Gillespie and Leo Thurley after they exited the respective competitions in the Leinster Club Championship. So do head on over to that. We will also be bringing you the review of this week's regional championship games, round 3 in the Brady Skoda Regional Championship, taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday night. So we will have that podcast coming out later in the week, and we'll get interviews from all 4 games, because we will again, Davey, be doing 4 commentaries, 2 on Tuesday night and 2 on Wednesday night, all 4 games taking place in Dungannon. So at least we'll be beside each other for the commentaries.
Yeah, for a change. Yeah, looking forward to it, Mickey. Obviously, it's the final round of action, and there's still an awful lot to be decided. I think there's only one team, mathematically, if you like, out of contention going into the final round of games. So we do expect a bit of drama and a few twists and turns to boot. So hopefully, as we say on the Sunday night of these games, that the weather will play a bit of ball with us, and we can enjoy some good football across the 2 nights, and we'll have our semi-final pairings after that.
Yeah, we come to those fixtures in just a moment's time. But before we do move on to the regional championship, sticking with Leinster club action, it's the turn of Kildare next Saturday to get their Leinster campaign underway, Davey. They're going to be playing Clodagh of Offaly in Trim on Saturday at 1 p.m. So we're really excited to see Kildare in Leinster action this year, because, you know, they don't lose at the minute. So can they bring that on into Leinster now?
The only issue for them here is, Mickey, that this isn't a final. If it was, you'd have absolutely no problem staking a claim for them straight away. Listen, I think it's a big challenge. Obviously, Offaly teams are renowned for how good they are in lesser competitions. But Kildare, as you quite rightly say, have been just superb this year. And since their win, close to a month ago now, is it? Since their Jubilee win, they've been keeping their eye in with some other competitions. And it's been really beneficial, actually, because I don't mean to belittle the competitions that they've won in recent weeks, but it's proven to be excellent preparation for Leinster. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Offaly lads, I'm sure, haven't had that sort of luxury, and Kildare have played competitive action against decent sides in Meath, and you would like to think it stood to them. They've used 21 players with their senior team so far this year, but there is now that possibility that they might use more. So I'm thinking about the likes of the Dorans and Podger Gagan and fellas like that who have been outstanding for their intermediate team. But for that reason alone, they haven't played for their senior. So there's a big pool of players now at Nick Fitzgerald's disposal, which I can't imagine he'll be shy in using should they be required. So let's hope that there's a big crowd in Trim on Saturday afternoon to cheer them on and hopefully continue what's been the most remarkable of years for them.
Yeah, well, there'll definitely be a massive contingent of Kildare people there, that is for sure, and the surrounding area, because they're going to descend on Trim next Saturday at 1 p.m. for that Leinster match against Clonan of Offaly. So best of luck to the lads in that one. Davey, just going back to the regional championship, the results from last week from Group A, it was our Bracken 6, Tara 1-9, Loughcrew 1-16, Blackwater 8 points. On Wednesday night from Group A, it was Boyne Valley 14, Bruna Bonia 1-11, a draw in Dungannon. And from Group B, it was Ontushkart 1-10, Myfenra 1-17. And as you said, rightly said, that means that there's only one team mathematically out, which is our Bracken from Group A. From Group B, Ontushkart are on 0 points, but a win in the last game, and if the results went their way, if the result went their way in the other game, you'd have three tight teams on 2 points and it could come down to score difference. So they're still mathematically in. We're going to be covering all these games, as we said, and Boyne Valley Ard Bracken is on Tuesday night. Both Group A games were won at the same time in Dungannon. So it's Boyne Valley against Ard Bracken and Bruna Bonia against Tara. And then on Wednesday, on Tushkart versus Loughcrew, Myfenra versus Blackwater. Looking at it there, Davey, from Group A, Boyne Valley and Bruna Bonia are both on 3 points. They avoid each other in the last game, so it's in their own hands for both of them going into that game. But it's also in the hands of Tara, who played Bruna Bonia in that last game. If they get the victory over Bruna Bonia, they know that they're going to go through.
Yeah, and with Tara, there's probably a decision to be made. Like, do you extend the hand out to the Kilbride players to welcome them back in after their exit from the Leinster Championship? I mean, it wouldn't be beyond the realms. I suppose it depends on the manager, really. You kind of pick a panel and you trust your players, or do you bring a few of the Kilbride lads in now and I'll kind of bolster that squad for a huge game to try and get yourselves through to a semi-final for the second consecutive year? It's a tough one to try and weigh up, and they have a couple of injuries and unavailabilities. Like, Luke Mitchell went off last week and Pierre Fox has gone travelling, so they have a few issues there as well. Bruna Bonia have been kind of the story of it for me so far, Mickey. Like, they could easily be going into this game with no points, or maybe just 1 point, but they've managed to dig out 3 points by virtue of injury time drama in both of the opening weeks. So, you know, I've been really impressed with them, and they've showed loads of characteristics that you'd like to see in a team. You know, obviously they have loads of quality in that, but their character and their spirit is something that's really stood out to me so far. So it promises to be a pretty dramatic night of action in Group A.
Yeah, it really does. And we're going to be, as we said, bringing you four live commentaries from all four games from Group A. There's two games on Tuesday, and on Group B, it's two games on Wednesday. And we're doing all of those commentaries in conjunction with your local Husqvarna dealership down in Ballinard, of course, PR Coin and Sons, and our thanks to them and all our sponsors giving us the chance to bring all these podcasts and all these commentaries and everything else to you. It's been a tough week, Davey. I'm starting to fade.
Yeah, it's okay. Keep going, Mickey. You're doing okay. Soldier on. Come on.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coin and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Let's go.
United okay. Got to win. Come on, pick the
positive. That's probably the reason why I'm in shock. Speaking of the soccer, Jesus, it was a mad weekend. So it was so far, and Monday night is still to come. Davey, we'll skip that. That'll probably come up in our Instagram interactive. Yeah. But what we do is we go straight into the lottos now.
Yeah, cool, Mickey. I think my own Cortown are up first, unless someone has sent one in after me. No, they haven't. So Cortown GFC from Friday night at the 3rd of November, 16,500 of a jackpot, not won. The numbers were 23, 25, 27 and 32. We dished out €500. We don't beat around the bush out in Cortown. €500 given out on Friday night to Lisa Noon, Mary Cassidy, Philip McLaughlin, Therese and Evie, Cod and Richie Brady. We also picked out our next two Trolley Dash finalists, who will be Tony Connell and Ollie Thornton. And we're back once again on Friday night with €16,600. CortownGA.com/lotto. Ballinlock. Fortnightly draws taking place once every 2 weeks, I should say, on a Monday night. The jackpot is currently at €6,000. And last week, there was no winner. The letters drawn were E, L, U, and Z. Next draw takes place on the 13th of November in the clubhouse. The match three winners sharing €100 from last week were Aoife Tunney and Emma Riley. Navin O'Matney's from last week, the numbers were 2, 8, 10 and 13. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Denise Lane, Lisa Kenny, Sinead O'Sullivan and Fionnuala Cahill. Next draw takes place on the 7th of November and they have €13,700. Drumbarra, their results from last week, 6, 7, 13 and 16. €3,900, not won. 30-year winners were Andrea Farley, Eamon Hart, Avery Lynch, Michael Gibney and Antoinette Birmingham. Manalvi from Monday night, the 30th of October, 2, 10, 19 and 27. No jackpot winner. 320-year winners were Isash, Sean Duggan, all the way from Australia, the Ham and Louise Byrne. The next draw takes place on the 6th of November, which is tomorrow night, Monday. And they've got €5,300 at manalvigfc.ie or on the Clubforce app. Kilmainham are next in from the 30th of October. 6, 8, 19 and 27. They had no jackpot winner, meaning next week's jackpot is worth a massive €9,700. Five lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were Paula Brady, Jana McEntee, Alan Morgan, Woody and Ian Bracknell. And I think the final one on my list, Mickey, comes from Minalty, and their results from last Sunday night, or Monday night rather, 4,000 of a jackpot. Numbers were 2, 6, 9 and 23. No winner, no match three winners. Five drawn winners, each receiving €20, were Carol Casty, Johnny Lynch, John Brogan, Karen Kangley and Patrick Casty. Special online prize of €50 went to Siobhan McEntee, and the next draw takes place tonight and it's worth €4,200.
Lovely, jubbly. Davey, we'll move on then to Centerson's Lotto from last Monday the 31st of October, and it was, the numbers drawn were 6, 18, 20, and 26. There was no jackpot winner. The five 25-year winners were Audrey Norris, Pat Clark, Patrick Curtis, Tony Corbally, and Declan Kilsula. That's brilliant to see Declan. He is the secretary, or if I'm not mistaken, out in the Central Town. And that lotto was €5,900. This week's lotto is a massive €6,000. So you can do that online. The Kilmainham Wood GFC lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 4, 5, 25, and 28. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were John Keoghan, Anne-Marie Kiernan, Anne Dolan, Breda Cunningham, and Alton Daly. And this week's lotto will be €4,600. Simonson's lotto, finally, last week, on Friday night, was €4,200. There was no winner. The match three winners were Lily Pepper and Mark Harris. And the numbers drawn were 1, 2, 11, and 20. And again, you can go to any of the social media pages and you get the link there for the lotto. So time now, Davey, to move on to our Instagram talking points.
No bother, Mickey. Nice few coming in throughout the course of the evening. The first one in is from Robert Purfield. This is a reoccurring theme. And he said, Bournemouth recycling sponsorship must be incoming for the pod. I was utilizing another bin on Sunday afternoon over in Hawkfield in Kildare. So I think that'd be a pretty apt sponsorship for the podcast, wouldn't it, with all these commentaries?
Did he say Bournemouth or
Bournemouth? Yeah. Well, AES was the one last week, but we're not picky. Whoever comes to us first.
Exactly. Yeah, and we'll probably end up in the bin, Davey. That's the only problem.
Keen McFadden said, "Wolf Tones under 21 hurling is on the rise with some serious talent."
You might be able to fill me in on that one. I don't know what's happening out the road at the top of Proudstone Hill. We never know what's going on with Wolf Tones out there.
I hear they're nicking a few Simonstown lads out there to play a bit of hurling. Harden them up a bit, Mickey, I think is what they're trying to do. They've done brilliant work in fairness at underage level, and it's starting to reap the rewards. They've had a tough couple of years in fairness at adult level, but definitely if they have a promising under 21 team coming through, the future is certainly bright for them.
Yeah, 100%.
Jack Walsh said, super Shamrock Rovers. Yeah, Shamrock Rovers doing four in a row, crown champions on Friday night.
Yeah, went down to Cork, didn't get a guard of honour and start giving out a bit.
That's right. Don't think they were too happy at that.
Do you know what? The expectation is that you get a guard of honour, but what they're trying to do down there in Cork City is make it a tough place to go again. It used to have this history of being a tough away fixture and that they were horrible and all that. And they're trying to bring that back in. But so I'm kind of, if that was me and I didn't get the guard of honour, I'd kind of laugh and, go, that's childish. But it was like the fishing rod was cast and they took it hook, line and sinker.
Yeah, I'd agree. Jack Walsh also said that I think this is weekly moan, to be honest with you. He said the standard of refereeing in Meath is absolutely atrocious.
I know. I've been to the Meath District League games and they are horrendous.
good answer that. I suppose on a serious note, I was at a couple of the Leinster games, obviously, over the weekend, Mickey. I won't get into it, but the junior game, I didn't think the referee was atrocious, right? And he was a loud man. But what I pulled from it was he was fairly inconsistent and stuff, with his decision making and X, Y, and Z. I just don't think other counties are any better or worse in refereeing stakes than Meath. I think we're always very quick to criticize our own, but I think by and large it's the same across the board. We're no better or no worse than other counties,
Yeah, and I'm involved obviously with the We Are Cavan podcast from time to time. And it crops up there all the time. This is not just a Meath problem. This is a national problem. What I say to Jack is, Jack, go in and get your young whistlers training done and go out in that field and referee a few games and see how you get on, Jack.
I'd love to see it. I bloody love FPL. Said worst fantasy football week ever. Yeah, Jesus Christ of Almighty. I don't know about you, Mickey, but Oh my Lord.
But I think it's the same for everybody. This week was supposed to be the most predictable week of all of them. And it was like, but who do I captain? You know, that's the way it was. And sure, it didn't matter who you captained. So it didn't matter.
Well, I thought it was the easiest captain choice ever. I said Haaland at home to Bournemouth. Absolutely. I was coming out of
Luton. Do you know what
I suppose, but like Haaland at home to Bournemouth. I'm coming out of Ashburn and it's just coming up to half time in the City game. Turn on the radio, 3-0. I'm like, right, Alan's definitely got one. He's probably got two. Maybe he's even got a hat-trick. I knew exactly when I seen the score, and they have a big Champions League game midweek, and I said, that's that. They're whipping him off at halftime. Fucking lo and behold, a few minutes into the second half, I looked at the thing, gone at halftime, replaced by Grealish or Foden or whoever it was. I was absolutely seething. And that set the tone for the weekend in fantasy football.
Yeah. I'm looking... My defender Trippier was scored highest for me over the weekend. Now, I still have two players to play, Madison and Romero, but you know, some of the guaranteed points throughout just didn't happen. I think it was the same for everybody. That's the only thing. Like the average points this week is 22 so far. It's been horrendous. Yeah.
And you were being spoken about on their podcast last week. I'm not sure if you tuned in.
Oh, yeah, I always tune in every week to Paddy and Robbie. Robbie Keane, not that Robbie Keane. I do tune in to the two lads.
Very enjoyable, isn't it?
Yeah, like, do you know, the funny thing is that for the last number of years, the two lads, no matter what leagues we were in the Fantasy Premier League, Premier Football, the two lads were always up top, and Robbie was usually, by the end of the year, would be well clear of everybody. Since they started doing the podcast, you know, the pressure has come on and the two of them are doing shiny.
Love it. Lucky to be working, said, spoke well on LMFM, lad.
You were obviously doing the commentary on LMFM and you had a couple of interviews as well for LMFM.
Yeah, a couple of interviews for them, a couple of interviews for us as well. It works both ways, Mickey, you know?
Yeah. But you were on the radio, plenty of it.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Obviously, the result was all that was missing really from Summerhill, but enjoyed it. Yeah, we're fairly used to it though at this stage. It doesn't really change too much. Yeah,
I'm surprised that Lucky didn't say you've got a face for radio. That'd be usually
he's not in a position to say that, Mickey. Come on,
that's true as well.
The next one comes in from Dolores Callanan. And she said, Nafina ladies reaching Leinster football and Camogie finals. What a bunch of women.
Absolutely. And to win both semi-finals on the same weekend, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, with the crossover players and the whole lot, it's a phenomenal achievement. And let's just hope that, obviously the football final is next weekend. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Camogies are out in 2 weeks' time. They are indeed, Dr. Cullen Park. So at least they'll get a week between each of the finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Dylan Crehan is next in, and he said Dunboyne's 19s to win the 19s championship and finish off a strong year for the lads. Yeah, of course, they had minor success, under 17 success as well. So, yeah, we talked about this last week. They'll probably take a bit of beating in that 19s competition.
But is he on about the hurling or the football?
Oh, I don't know. Because
they could go on and win both of them as well. It's that Dunboyne is a club that just to watch over the next couple of years. Like I said it to you this year, I thought they were one of the best teams I watched in the championship, in the league championship this year. Mm. And whatever happened to them, they ended up in the relegation, obviously got out of it. But with the pool of talent coming behind at the minute, they're definitely a team to watch.
Yeah. Joe McGueaney said the car park, a mud bath and bottleneck in Hawkfield. Shambles.
Oh, so they obviously were parking on pitches or in fields around Hawkfield, were they?
Yeah, I was lucky. I was kind of there in good time, so I got right in at the ground. But I know from being there before, now it was at a game during the summer, I think, and we did a podcast after. I think it was a minor game. There is a field just around to the side which they put the majority of cars in. And I actually seen Kieran Devaney from Blackall Gales had a story up on Instagram, and he said it resembled something like the ploughing championships coming out of it, which isn't ideal, and very disappointed to hear that. Look, the pitch was grand. I'm not going to complain too much about it, Mickey, but I found it odd that a game like that was brought to Hawkfield. Like, surely Dr. Cullen Park would have been a better venue, considering that's where the business end of the Kildare Championship was played. Do you know? I didn't really like the venue choice.
Yeah, home venue, they get to choose. The county ground is out, but they could use, like, Hawkfield is their centre of excellence. So maybe logistically and all that, probably were also the best of ideas.
Yeah. Last one in is from Zach Griffin, and he said Adam Muldoon called into the Mead senior hurlers. Congratulations to him.
Is he taking the mickey, or what's he on about there? Is that true?
Is it the hurlers or footballers? I don't know. I think there is a bit of truth in that. I'm just not sure for which team. I don't know.
We'll do a little bit of recon on that, yeah, and come back, yeah, to it next week. Davey, something from last week's podcast. We've got an issue that we need to talk about. There was some fake news podcast last week saying that Kyle Tallon had shaved off his mullet. Well, I can confirm that did not happen. When I spoke to him after the game in the regional championship the other night, a fine game he had as well, it has to be said. But I spoke to him afterwards, and he was quite distraught that somebody would even make up such a rumour. And he does think that it may have been one of his friends that sent in that bit of Instagram last week. And we'll find him. Can't be making up rumours like that about one of the best haircuts in need.
Good to hear the mullet's still intact, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We just wanted to get that out there and make sure that, you know, people who listen to the podcast know that Kyle Tallon still has that mullet and the lovely flowing locks as he's playing in that regional championship. If you want to obviously go and see him playing, come to Dungannon next week and you'll see those lovely locks flying around the field. A great footballer as well. And he's worth the admission fee alone because he's a fabulous footballer. So he's definitely got a bright future ahead of him. And maybe a sponsorship deal with him and Jonas or something. But anyways, look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Me podcast. Remember, We Are Me. Bye.